listen to Alan for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Hey, Alan here, and welcome to... Why is it so aggressive then? Hey, Alan here. That's more gentle. Alan here. And yes, welcome to the catch-up. Big chat today. Talked all things about the Bunbury Soup Van. What a great job they're doing. I had a chat with Denise all about that. A little bit of the verdict in regards to Gaff, how that all happened and transpired. He got 8 weeks. A little bit of that we'll chuck in there. Desexing the myths, what we know, what we don't know. I had a chat with Dr. Braden all about that. Air guitarist, we'll have a little bit more about that. Call centers, getting more staff. There's a few little things to listen out for. Also, a tyre museum, the very first in Australia, being launched just around the corner from us in Mandurah. So a bit of that, and also a Mamma Mia 2 review, kind of. Enjoy the catch-up. This week, Homelessness Week, we are focusing on a topic that we do not talk often enough about. And I have someone that's doing quite a lot of good here in the Southwest, in particular Bunbury, for the Bunbury Soup Van, the president of it, Denise, on the line. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, first off, thank you for what an amazing job you guys have been doing. For people that don't know what you guys do, what exactly is involved?
Okay, so on a Wednesday night, a Saturday night and a Sunday night, we go and hand out bread and soup to those who actually just need it. So you don't have to have any kind of proof that you need it or you're struggling. You just can come and get yourself a feed.
Absolutely. Where is the soup coming from?
The soup's actually donated from St. John of God's Hospital, so they give us about 3 urns on all those 3 nights. So,
wow.
And then we also have a couple of private catering companies, Taplicious and Guardians of Happiness, who also will do us some extra little soups and meals.
Absolutely. Now, I assume this isn't paid. This is all volunteer work. What was your reason for getting involved?
Most of the committee members were actually involved with the Red Cross soup van. And when that unfortunately had to go back to Perth, we just felt like it really needed to keep going here in Bunbury.
Now, I understand you guys did a recent call out for volunteers, but you had an absolute ton of people put their hand up.
Yeah, we've had huge amounts. Our actual first van has been filled. All those spots that have been filled, we could have filled them 3 times over.
Wow.
So it's been wonderful.
That's great to hear that everyone wants to help and do their bit.
Yeah, I've got to say, the people of Bunbury and the businesses of Bunbury are incredible. They have just been the driving force, giving us so much extra support and help that makes us realise what we're doing is really important to people.
Absolutely. You're out there on the streets. You see it a lot more than I would. Is there anything more that we should be doing to help out the homeless?
Look, I think it's just supporting any of the agencies that are involved in this industry because they're stretched to their limit. So any of those big agencies, small agencies, if you can just help out, a bit of volunteer work, small donation here and there, it's really important because they are just stretched. And when someone becomes homeless or needs support, sometimes it's really hard to access that support because it's all full.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for the chat today. And once again, congratulations. Just all the great work that you guys are doing. I love it.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's been the talking point of the week to the point where I was even considering not talking about it, but I figure we might as well put a bow on it. And that is, of course, the massive Andrew Gaff story ever since the Western Derby on Sunday. It's been the top story. I remember at one point, the West Australian on the website, it was literally every single thing on their homepage. A verdict has been handed down. He has been suspended for 8 weeks for punching Andrew Brayshaw. This is what he said immediately after the tribunal.
Last 48 hours has probably been the toughest couple of days of my life, and the people that I've spoken to and the people that have seen me throughout that time know the world of pain I'm in and how much I'm suffering. I see myself as a caring, gentle and measured person, and that's why it's disappointing.
That audio, courtesy of Channel 7. Obviously, you know, he's very disappointed in himself for that. He also made these comments as well.
I'm disappointed to let my teammates down at an important time of the year. I'm disappointed to let my supporters down as well. For the time being, I'm going to surround myself with my friends and family and those who care for me most. But once again, I just want to apologise wholeheartedly to Andrew, and I hope he gets better soon.
Yep, and so 8 weeks, that means his season for West Coast Eagles is over. It unfortunately also means Andrew Brayshaw, he's not going to be playing as well for the rest of the season. He's got 4 weeks of eating through a straw. He can't eat any solid foods. I'm not going to say whether it's too much, too little. I think it's a fine amount, to be honest. 8 weeks, it seems about right. I notice a lot of people getting fired up, the keyboard warriors on social media. That's the basics of the story. Hopefully now, I just want us to move on. I want us to let them do their thing. They've both got the rest of the year off footy to work on themselves, figure out what's going on, and then let's just focus on 2019. And let's also talk about the football again. So hopefully West Coast can get up this weekend and hopefully Freo as well after what's been a massive, massive week. And I know what you're thinking. Alan, you were just talking a little bit about the Dolphin Discovery Centre, huge tourist attraction. Yes, it is going to be big when that's finally finished, but forget about that for half a second and let's put our attention to Mantra for just half a minute. As they have announced, they're going to be the first in Australia to have a Pacific museum dedicated completely to, wait for it, tyres. Yes, 100%. That is a real thing. Peel Tyre Service is going to be launching the museum on September 27th. Obviously, they need a little bit of time to put all the tyres together. They've collected a lot of tyres in the meantime. They've got some that will go back as far as the 1890s. They've got the old air compressor from the 1930s. And it looks like it's going to be very interesting if you're into your tyres. For me, that sounds quite tiring, but I'm sure that it will go very, very well. No, in all seriousness, obviously, that's a really good idea. And look forward to that one in Mantra for the Peel Tyre Service. All right, I'll stop making jokes. And when it comes to calling up Centrelink, it's not exactly at the top of my favourite things to do, but it could be getting a little bit easier. With the announcement yesterday, they're going to be hiring an extra 1,500 staff. They'll be taking jobs across different spots in the country, including Adelaide, Brisbane, and Perth, which is very exciting to learn. Now, this is on top of the 1,000 staff they already hired in April, bringing up to about 2,750 new staff. Now, obviously, Centrelink, in the perfect world, their dream is for us to do everything online. They want us to go to the website, the MyGov website, and just do everything through that. But in the real world, we have issues and we need to talk to someone to sort them out. They receive about 1 million calls a day on average, which is an insane amount of calls. So as you can expect, you are normally on hold for quite a long time. Hopefully, this relieves a bit of pressure, but with the additional 1,000 staff announced to be hired. So that's great news. Hopefully, obviously, more jobs for Australia, so that's always good. And more importantly, less wait times for Centrelink. So if you're planning to call them, there's some good news for you, helping you out. Happy to let you know. Paperback Writer here on Triple M. Not a bad song to air guitar to, just quietly. 20 minutes to 7, and speaking of all things air guitar, right now in the United States, they are currently in the middle of their national championships for U.S. air guitar. That is a real thing. I follow this every year. I laugh every single time. The way it works is they have a minute. They can use whatever song they want. They can mix it up with whatever they want. They've got to get out there and do their best air guitar. They are then judged on a whole lot of different criteria, including technical skill, stage presence, and airness. That is real. Like, obviously, you need it to make it look like a real guitar, but you've got to add a little bit of flair to it, a little bit of flavor. So, of course, the national championships then go on to the world championships, which will be later on in the year in Finland. So, very, very serious stuff here with the U.S. Air Guitar National Championships. In fact, I was thinking right now, let's make a big deal out of it. Let's cross live over there to the U.S. and hear one of them tuning up right now. Let's cross to it now. It's air guitar. There's no sounds. That's the bit of a gag.
Al's Furry Pals. Thanks to Bunbury and Eaton Vet Clinics. Modern medicine, compassionate care.
I've got Dr. Braden in the studio, and today we're talking about one of the big topics, the big question that a lot of people come up to, and that is, should I de-sex my pet?
Yep, we get asked this one every day, every puppy, every kitten consult we do.
Yeah.
It's a question that we need to answer. And the short answer for cats, absolutely yes.
Yes.
So by law, they have to be de-sexed by 6 months of age.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that cats live longer if they're de-sexed because they're less likely to pick up certain diseases like cat AIDS or feline leukemia virus. Oh. The males are less likely to fight, get hit by cars, do all sorts of stupid things. So cats, it's a real no-brainer. Absolutely, they should be done at 6 months of age.
Cool.
For dogs, we'll talk about males and females separately. Now, females, studies have shown that de-sexing has a very much a positive effect on their life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
So a D6 female on average will live longer than an entire female. And the main reasons for that is certain tumours. So mammary tumours are very common in females that aren't D6'd.
Mm-hmm.
And the risk of that actually increases with each season. So if you D6 a female before she has the first season, there's almost no chance of her getting mammary tumours. After one season, it's about 1 in 200. By the time they've had 3 seasons, it's around a 23% risk, and that's lifelong, that risk. So even if you then D6 her after those 3 seasons, she's still going to carry that risk. So
yeah,
definitely worth getting her D6'd nice and early. So around 6 months is generally what we recommend. For large breed dogs, there is some evidence to say that we might be better off leaving it a little bit longer. But what we'd really recommend is, if you've got a large breed dog, have a chat to your vet and see what they'd recommend. Now, males,
yeah, this is an interesting one, because a lot of people, they're a bit weird about it. They don't want to get their dog D6'd.
Yep, and some blokes are absolutely shocking for this. They tend to go, well, I wouldn't want mine cut off. But
exactly.
I always argue, well, would you rather have yours cut off, or would you rather have them your whole life and never get to use them? So,
You put it like that, I'm now very sad.
You got to feel sorry for them either way.
Yep.
But males, they've actually shown that there's no survival advantage to D6'ing, but there are a lot of other reasons why you might consider D6'ing.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what they found is that males that were D6'd were less likely to die from misadventure. So it's just like in people, testosterone makes us do stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
And
guilty.
And so more likely to get hit by cars, get into fights, those sort of things.
Yep.
With castrated males, they were more likely to develop certain autoimmune conditions and certain cancers. Now, my thought with that is a lot of that probably relates to being more prone to putting on weight. And that's really the downside of D6'ing a dog, is they're much more prone to putting on weight. And that just needs to be managed with diet. So you basically cut back their calorie intake. So that can either be through less food, or you can actually feed a low calorie food or a diet that's designed for D6 dogs and cats. But basically, if we can control that, I think we can actually end up with a better quality of life. The real advantage to D6'ing males can be a behavioural one.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're showing some signs of aggression, can sometimes be helped with castration. Prostate enlargement is also a common thing that we need to be looking at avoiding.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like people, dogs' prostates get bigger with age. But that's a testosterone responsive one. So we castrate them, the prostate shrinks. There's actually no link between D6'ing or not and prostate cancer. It's the same risk either way. And obviously testicular cancer is the other thing which dogs that are castrated can't get, because no testicles, no testicular cancer.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's a pretty brief summary, and it's a bit of a complex issue. So what I would recommend is, if you're not sure, make an appointment with your vet. They'll talk through the pros and cons of it and work out what's right for your pet.
That's it. Have that chat. Well, thanks for the chat today, mate.
Beauty. Thanks for your time.
Dr. Braden there. And yeah, a bit of a testy subject. Oh, I'll leave it alone. Sorry. Bunburyvets.com.au if you want to find more information out. Steve sent home from Survivor. Oh, geez. It was pretty intense the way it all happened. Steve was on the line now. Hey, mate. How are you?
G'day, Alan. How are you going?
I am doing well, mate. Oh, man. You got blindsided last night. I did not see that coming.
No, you know, that's the nature of the beast, you know, this game, people double cross people. Yeah, well, you know, I'm okay.
We thought you were going to be the first one to be sent home, and fortunately for you, it didn't quite go that way. What were you thinking leaving the first tribal council? What was your mindset?
Oh, right. It's a bit of a funny one, because I was ready to fight it out with Matt on the first tribal council, because he already set the poison into the tribe. But when he opened his mouth and start bragging about this and that, then I just kept my mouth shut, you know.
Yep.
I think that's the best way to do it, and it worked.
Yeah, and then from there, we saw you make quite a lot of friendships with what is the alpha males of the team. I was surprised by that. I expected you to kind of make more friends with the ladies in the camp.
Well, it's actually part of my stratagem, but I had to pick which is the more powerful subgroups, and I thought I'd just go with the Fantastic Four, as we call ourselves at the time.
Yeah.
and then after that, I was just actually after I got voted out, I was thinking of just starting to work on the girls as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, to do justice, I can't do both at the same time. And they're very, dipolar, so to speak. You know, they don't talk to each other literally as best as they can. And, you got the benefit of hindsight, but, you know, for me, I had a real blast being in there. I wasn't meant to be in there, actually, in the first place.
Yeah, it looked like you had a whole lot of fun, mate. It looked like you kind of ticked something off your bucket list.
I did, yes, indeed. It's actually a good way to get into politics, because now I know what not to do, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly it. Hey, we did see in the first episode, you were manically looking everywhere for an idol. You're quite a crafty guy. We saw you make the crab cage. Did you have any luck with that crab cage just quickly?
Yeah, well, look, it's something that I've learned when I was in Boy Scout, literally. And it worked like a charm, except this time I forgot about the tide. So by the time morning time, the crabs swim out. There were crabs in there. I think it's a telltale sign, but they just swam out. It was devastating for the big boys.
Yeah.
They were so hungry, you know. They just didn't have enough fat reserve. But for me, you know, like, well, you know, c'est la vie, it happened. Just go back to rice and beans.
Yeah, unfortunately. But so you made that trap, so you're quite a crafty guy. I'm surprised you didn't make a fake idol to try and sneak your way and kind of, you know, have a little bit of power like that. Did that thought come across your mind?
It did. Actually, it was part of the plan, but not in the early stages. I mean, I had a bangle that I kind of smuggled in, and, well, it wasn't smuggled in. I was wearing it most of the time anyway, and I was going to convert that into a fake idol. But the issue is that once somebody's seen the real idol, then they will know it's fake. But anyway, it was part of the, you know, scheming master plan, but I didn't get to execute it, unfortunately.
Ah, that is a shame. I reckon it would have been hilarious, and you would have nailed it, I'm sure. Mate, it's a shame to see you go. You were very entertaining. Good luck with everything, mate. I appreciate the chat.
No, I had a blast. Yeah. Thanks for that. You have a great day, too.
Camilla Dawson on the line, the Southwest editor for the Busselton Dunser Mail. Good morning. How are ya?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I am doing well. Let's talk about what's making the paper. First off, on the front page.
Yeah, so Cape Naturalist College is in the running to be named Secondary School of the Year.
Wow.
So we've got a really cool story about that.
That is fantastic. And there's wedding dramas as well in the paper.
Yes, there is. So we've got a bride-to-be that is very upset because she's had to rearrange her whole event because a house in Eagle Bay has been shut down. They're not allowed to have weddings anymore.
Why is that?
Well, because they host weddings there or accommodation there almost every weekend of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of weeks ago, whoever was in that accommodation broke curfew and the city of Busselton decided, no, they're not allowed to have weddings there anymore.
Ruin it for everyone else. Yeah, sounds
That's
about
it.
Right. Also, making the news as well, a whale skeleton out of Busselton.
That's right. So 120 years ago, I think it was, this huge whale skeleton or whale washed up in Busselton, and it is now a skeleton in the new Perth Museum.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And I understand there's a competition to name it.
Yeah, that's right. It's this one's been really entertaining. So local government minister David Tippleman has already said that Whale McWhaleface would not be the name. But we've got on our opinion page, we've got some really cool suggestions, including Boneface Kriller is my favourite.
I don't think anyone from my listenership would get that, but that's hilarious. Now, in sport, it was a big weekend as well.
Yes, that's right. So the Busselton Magpies footy league side, they had a loss against HBL on the weekend, which means that they may not get into the finals. So it makes it very interesting.
Absolutely. People can read up on that and much, much more in this week's paper. Thanks for the chat, Jamila.
No worries. Thank you.